Romans chapter 3, universal corruption. Man's corrupt heart. We read in Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The litany of sins in chapter 1, we may recall, started with a refusal to acknowledge or to thank God. See Romans 1:18-23. This is simply a repetition of that assertion in different words. Just as the refusals in chapter 1 led ultimately to utter lostness in the proliferation of every imaginable evil, so we see that the refusal to fear, honour, respect, worship God is at the base of man's corrupt deeds, words, and character. The fundamental flaw is man's heart, and all else bubbles up like so much hot and smelly black pitch from this core. As an end note, let's say that Paul has said it in many ways. Can there be any doubt that all of mankind is given to the imagination and the commission of every kind of evil upon which the wrath of God rightly and justly abides? No one is exempt, not Jew, not Greek, not other Gentiles, not the poor, the rich, the smart, the dense, not the good, the bad, the responsible, or the reckless. All men are corrupt to and at the core. Paul preached it and proved it. How will we believe it? And will we, in turn, preach it? This brings us to the end of Paul's treatise on man's depravity. It's long, heavy, and depressing, but it's necessary. We need to know the depth and the horror of sin, of our sin, or we shall never understand the glories of God's grace. It's been pointed out that if we truly knew the blackness and the depravity of our own carnal hearts, it would fill us with a terror so intense that it would be unbearable. And if you're praying for revival, bear this in mind, that conviction of sin, as powerful as that hinted at here, usually accompanies any genuine move of God. It's then that you'll begin to know holy fear, and through it catch a real glimpse of holy wisdom. Praise the Lord that we're now coming to the good news. The bad news we now know, and the good news is about to be revealed. Perhaps we'll see a little of John Newton's relief as he penned these famous words, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed."